He was lured on Grindr by someone claiming to be a 30-year-old man, then violently assaulted in a secluded drainway by a group of teenagers.
You wanna be gay?
They're part of a broader pattern of dozens of app-based attacks across the country, driven by extremist ideologies, not just ISIS-inspired, but even more commonly, far-right extremist rhetoric.
Welcome to This Way Up,
the international LGBTQ radio magazine.
I'm Greg Gordon.
And I'm Lucia Chappell. For half a century, I've produced queer radio alongside Greg Gordon, This Way Out's co-founder and coordinating producer. Today, it's with a heavy heart I must announce that Greg passed away on March 5th. We'll have more to say about that after this week's truncated news wrap. We'll report briefly on stories we may expand on in the future, like Russia's labeling the advocacy group Coming Out an extremist organization, Maryland's $1.5 million payout to homophobic parents, and more news. Then hate criminals in Australia use dating apps to ambush gays.
All that and even more, because you've discovered This Way Out. I'm Marcos Najera.
And I'm Ava Davis.
With an abbreviated edition of News Wrap, a brief look at a few stories in the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending March 7th, 2026. Russian repression strikes again with the designation of the LGBTQ plus advocacy group Coming Out as an extremist organization. A secret trial held on March 3rd in St. Petersburg granted a request from the Ministry of Justice. No details of the ruling were released. This is the first Russian queer organization to be officially banned since the Supreme Court invented an international LGBT movement to declare extremist. Coming Out's organizers have been operating outside the country since the invasion of Ukraine and say they'll continue to provide services to queer people in country and those trying to flee.
Deviant culture is how a new deputy minister in Malaysian Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim's government wants to refer to LGBT people. Muhammad Rosli is responsible for religious affairs and is ordering the immediate change of terminology in public discourse and in social media. Human rights activists inside and outside Malaysia are condemning the move. Amnesty Malaysia calls it a reckless decision that will further marginalize and endanger LGBT people.
Maryland parents who sued their local school district over LGBTQ-themed storybooks are now $1.5 million richer. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled in the parents' favor in June 2025, ruling that they had the right to prior consent when such materials would be introduced in the classroom. Damages were awarded by U.S. District Judge Deborah Boardman on February 19th. It's a judgment that puts public schools around the country on notice about potential right-wing pressures.
The International Music, Art, and Cultural Festival, COLFEST, is being targeted by Kyrgyzstan officials based on its alleged promotion of LGBTQ life and drug use. MP Bolot Saganyev spoke out against the event during a meeting of a committee on science, education, innovations, information technologies, culture, sports, and youth affairs. He called for the organizers to be investigated, but a probe already conducted by the Ministry of Internal Affairs found no substance to the accusations. COLFEST's organizers argue that the event is a boon to tourism in Kyrgyzstan, bringing more than 10,000 guests from 30 countries. It's scheduled for July 24 through 26.
Veteran human rights activist Peter Tatchell is not letting the opening of London's first Chick-fil-A restaurant go without notice. The U.S. fast food chain has a long reputation for its support of homophobic causes, although it now says its charitable giving is focused on education, homelessness, and hunger. Tatchell organized a picket line at the Kingston-upon-Thames location on March 5th. He says that efforts to have a dialogue with Chick-fil-A officials have been rebuffed.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin's legendary LGBTQ bar, This Is It, may be out of business, but its legacy will be felt forever as an official state historic site. This Is It opened in the pre-Stonewall world in August 1968. Sarah Freiheit is a granddaughter of the original owner, June Brain. Freiheit said, "For decades, This Is It was the go-to destination in times of crisis, in times of celebration, and those times when just being with your community was the best possible comfort." The Wisconsin Historical Society approved a state historic marker for the landmark on March 4th.
Meanwhile, the news was not so good for Cardiff's Queer Emporium, what's been called South Wales' most recognizable LGBTQ plus enterprises, announced its closing on March 4th. The Queer Emporium has been a meeting place, creative venue, and community hub since 2021. Escalating operating costs are forcing the shop that's mostly run by trans, intersex, and non-binary workers to close. The team expects to continue at festival pop-ups in Wales and across the UK.
In other news, trans service members being forced out of the US military are pressing the Justice Department to move their case forward before separation proceedings are initiated. US District Judge Ana Reyes has given the government until March 11th to respond to a request to schedule the trial.
Asylum seekers Ludovic Mbak of Cameroon and a woman identified as Farah from Morocco are fighting the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency. ICE is threatening to send both back to their anti-LGBTQ countries where their lives are in danger.
British female track and field athletes will now have to pay for their own World Athletics required SRY sex tests. The International Athletic Governing Body used to provide financial aid for the tests intended to prove that the contestants in all female category championships are not trans or intersex. UK Athletics has no hardship fund for financially disadvantaged women.
Menaka Guruswamy could be India's first out MP. Guruswamy was the senior advocate at the Supreme Court of India who argued the case that decriminalized same-gender sexual activity in 2018.
Senegal's National Assembly will be debating Prime Minister Ousmane Sonko's bill that would enhance penalties for LGBTQ organizing and sexual activity on March 11th.
Foster homes in the U.S. no longer have to affirm their support for children's gender identity transitions. The Trump's Health and Human Services Department has rescinded that Biden administration guidance.
And two drag performers from Brisbane have beaten a conservative Christian activist with an appeals court overturning the dismissal of their vilification complaint against him. Johnny Valkyrie and Dwayne Hill perform under the names Queenie and Diamond and sued Lye Shelton over his social media criticism following their Drag Queen Storytime event.
And that's a shortened news wrap, Global Queer News with Attitude, for the week ending March 7th, 2026. Some of these stories will be expanded on our next program. Until then, follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Marcos Najera. Stay healthy.
And I'm Ava Davis. Stay safe.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
I'm Brian DeShazer. This Way Out is deeply saddened to share the passing of Greg Gordon, co-founder and longtime coordinating producer of This Way Out. Greg died peacefully in his sleep on May 5th. For decades, Greg Gordon helped bring LGBTQ voices, stories, and culture to radio stations around the world. His work began in the early days of queer community broadcasting in Los Angeles. In 1974, he was part of the Gay Radio Collective at listener-sponsored station KPFK, helping produce IMRU, the oldest LGBTQ-produced radio series in public radio. At a time when queer lives were rarely heard on the public airwaves, those programs created space for LGBTQ people to tell their own stories in their own voices. Friend and longtime collaborator David Hunt remembers that moment as truly groundbreaking. He says, IMRU literally put broadcast tools in the hands of LGBTQ people and provided a platform so we could tell our own stories, sing our own songs, and speak our own truth in our own voices. Greg's vision for independent queer media grew even further in 1988 when he co-founded This Way Out. From the program's launch on April 1st of that year, Greg shepherded the weekly broadcast for nearly four decades, guiding the production of 1,979 programs heard on community and public radio stations across the United States and around the world. For many listeners, especially in the years before the internet, This Way Out was a lifeline. Mark Sophos remembers discovering the program when he was still closeted in the late 1980s. The show soon became essential listening at the New York station he founded, WDFH. Especially during those closeted years, he wrote, This Way Out was a lifeline for me. Community radio stations carried the program for decades. Simon Fresh of KMUD in Northern California recalls the early days when the show arrived by mail. We used to receive a cassette every week, he said. It's impressive how long Greg stuck with this project. I'm grateful. Those who worked with him remember him not only for his dedication to radio, but his warmth. Mark Sophos says that in their many conversations, Greg was so friendly and warm, whether they were discussing the programming or simply catching up. Greg leaves behind a remarkable legacy, nearly half a century of pioneering LGBTQ radio broadcasting, countless stories shared on the air, and generations of listeners and producers who found community through his work. His broadcast legacy is also preserved for future generations through the American Archive of Public Broadcasting, a collaboration between GBH and the Library of Congress. Greg Gordon's voice, vision, and commitment to independent community radio helped shape the sound of LGBTQ broadcasting around the world. He will be deeply missed. Greg is survived by his brother, co-founder, and associate producer of This Way Out, Lucia Chappell, his friends and colleagues. I'm Brian DeShazer for This Way Out. I'm on the verge of vision towards the moon, caught in the nexus, reasons I learned to love, reserve your judgment, retell your principles, still holding my breath and don't turn it up. Gay dating apps are being used in Australia to lure men into hate crime ambushes. Films of some attacks are showing up on extremist online networks. New federal hate speech laws were rushed through following last year's anti-Semitic Bondi Beach mass shooting. However, those protections do not currently include anti-LGBTIQ plus violence, while the state of New South Wales reports nearly 200 incidents since 2023. Sydney correspondent Michael Brown's report contains depictions of violence that some listeners may find distressing.
A recent investigation by the Australian Broadcasting Corporation has found a rise in serious assaults against gay and bisexual men over the past 2 years. In several cases, victims were lured through dating apps, attacked, and filmed. Some of those videos were later circulated in online chat groups sympathetic to Islamic State. The investigation also examined the influence of Sydney-based preacher Wissam Haddad, who has publicly expressed support for extremist interpretations of Islamic ideology. It's important to note that extremist rhetoric does not necessarily reflect the beliefs of the broader Muslim community. Extremism researcher Josh Roos from Deakin University in Melbourne told the ABC that networks connected to Haddad are central to the spate of attacks in Sydney.
The link to Wissam Haddad is very important. This is an individual who has been preaching hate on our streets for many years, very strategically staying on the right side of the law. He has a strong following, amongst whom we've seen many individuals who then gone on to be convicted of violence or linked to Islamic State.
These findings suggest that the attacks are part of a broader pattern of ideologically motivated violence, not isolated incidents. In the ABC investigation, Sydney preacher Wissam Haddad made statements expressing extremist views on homosexuality.
Homosexuality under the Sharia, after being judged with the Quran and the Sunnah by an Islamic judge in an Islamic court in Islamic lands, is punishable by death.
Extremism researchers note that statements like these have influenced networks connected to attacks against gay and bisexual men across the country. Experts also note that these attacks are not limited to one ideology. Heather Corkhill, legal director at Equality Australia, told SBS News,
"They're part of a broader pattern of dozens of app-based attacks across the country, driven by extremist ideologies, not just ISIS-inspired, but even more commonly, far-right extremist rhetoric."
While these attacks are driven by multiple extremist ideologies, the following clip illustrates one incident that the ABC says is an ISIS-inspired video that surfaced online in chat groups. This was obtained by the ABC after it was shared on social media.
Kill him, kill him.
You want to be gay? You want to be gay? Yeah?
New South Wales Police said they could not identify the attackers or the victim in this clip, according to the ABC. Haddad's centre was ordered closed after it was found to be linked to the Bondi Beach terrorist attacks in December 2025. Another more recent dating app attack, highlighted in the ABC expose, involved a 20-year-old man in Western Sydney. He was lured on Grindr by someone claiming to be a 30-year-old man, then violently assaulted in a secluded drainway by a group of teenagers. After the assault, the attackers stole his phone, he was left helpless, and the attack video was later shared online. The victim was hospitalised with serious facial injuries, including a deviated septum that still causes him breathing problems. Police say the attackers were part of a jihadist network involved in other crimes. One of them, a 17-year-old, pleaded guilty to aggravated robbery but walked free on probation with no conviction recorded, despite being implicated in similar offences. Other perpetrators of similarly motivated crimes have also recently walked free on probation as well. The day after the ABC report aired, New South Wales Premier Chris Minns responded to the allegations.
They're absolutely shocking examples of violent crime in our community, directed against individuals because of their sexuality. I've spoken to the Cabinet Office and the Attorney General's Department today about looking at changes to the law to put in massive new penalties specifically to target this abhorrent behaviour.
His comments underscore the seriousness with which his government says it is taking these attacks. On the day of the Sydney Mardi Gras parade, I spoke with members of the LGBTQ+ community and their allies to hear their reactions to the news story.
As a mother of two queer identifying children, I'm of course horrified that this can happen in this city, that I can feel safer in other countries than I feel in this country sometimes. And that makes me very, very sad. Just the fact that it existed, no matter who did it, is a bad thing, is a horrible thing. That's all I can say about that.
Do you believe that the New South Wales government should include LGBTQ people underneath its hate speech laws?
Yes, definitely. It shouldn't be restricted to religion. It could be restricted to. It shouldn't be restricted to that. It shouldn't be restricted to sex. It shouldn't be restricted to age. It shouldn't. It should apply to this community as well as religious communities.
I think it's shocking, and it brings back some of the violence that's happened to gay men, bisexual men, but also lesbians and other members of our queer community over many years. And it's shocking that it's happening now.
What do you think the New South Wales government's response to that is?
Well, I don't think it's strong enough yet, but by the same token, this whole sort of luring people through apps and things is a relatively new phenomenon, and I think they need to act on it quickly.
What sort of laws do you think should be brought into?
Well, I think there should be draconian penalties, but the app providers should be cooperating with the government and the police.
Yeah. Do you think it's enough just to bring in a very heavy law against it?
No, I think the police have to act on it.
It's a horrible sense of deja vu. Sydney has a long and unhappy history of gay bashings, which the police just wrote them off as death by accident or whatever, suicide. One of them was a young American mathematician who only just completed a PhD, found dead at the base of North Head on the entrance to Sydney Harbour. That crime was written off for years and years and years as suicide. His family never accepted it. It was only a couple of years ago that, after many, many inquests, they finally said, no, he was murdered. It seemed to have been getting better with the gay bashings, but it's just a horrible feeling of, oh, God, here we go again.
What do you feel about the religious extremist aspect of this?
Well, the trouble is it makes all religious people look bad, and not any sort of extremism is to be condemned, and violence is never acceptable regardless of what you might think. Religious motivation you might claim justifies it, it doesn't.
The New South Wales law as it stands does not cover hate speech against LGBTQ people. What do you think the government should be doing now?
Well, absolutely, it should. Legislation should be amended, absolutely.
So what should Chris Minns, the Premier, actively be doing now?
Well, as Premier of the State, you're in a position of authority. You can't just stand back. You might say he deplores it, but actually get some laws through, get it into Parliament, get it voted on, make it legislation, make it... Don't just say how appalling it is. Well, of course it is, but make it law. Today is Mardi Gras parade, so... Having spoken about a grim thing like that, we're still here and we're not going anywhere, so, and we celebrate, and that's exactly what we should be doing.
So my name's Lizzie, I'm the convener of Queer Amnesty here in New South Wales in Sydney. Obviously we're really concerned about the increasing levels of violence against our community, but equally so we're concerned that these sort of things are turned by governments and the media into excuses for more Islamophobia, and we don't want any of that. What we'd like is a Human Rights Act. What we'd like is laws that cover targeted violence and hate speech and hate crimes against all minority communities, not just the ones that governments pick and choose. All of us have a right to be safe. All of us have a right to live free from discrimination and violence, and we need a structure in this country to support that, and we need a Human Rights Act.
At the moment, the hate speech laws do not cover the LGBTQ community. What do you think about that?
Look, I think that's a mistake. Like, you know, now that this is this news article has come out, which is terrible. Those experiences are terrible and undoubtedly underreported, under-prosecuted as well. We're not seen as a priority. You know, we're not treated the same as other groups who might have experienced a similar thing. We're not the only group that's ignored in terms of, you know, looking after our safety. What we need are legal structures that build safety, community, and send the message that hate against any group is not okay. Violence against anyone is not okay.
Do you think that'll be enough to stop people committing these sort of crimes?
I think it's where we need to start.
In late February 2025, Equality Australia released a media statement revealing nearly 200 reported incidents of anti-LGBTIQ plus violence in New South Wales since 2023. The offences, including assault, aggravated robbery and affray, often involved teenage boys with dozens of cases linked to perpetrators using dating or hookup apps to lure victims. Legal director Heather Corkhill called the figures likely the tip of the iceberg, noting they didn't include verbal abuse, online hate, or doxing. She warned of a growing online culture radicalising young men and fueling real-world violence. Equality Australia has called for expanded hate speech laws, stronger hate crime penalties to make offences motivated by hatred of sexuality or gender identity more serious, and better reporting, monitoring, and victim support, stressing that legal changes alone are not enough to stop this broader pattern of hate. Equality Australia's CEO Anna Brown told the ABC that the rise in hate crimes is not just confined to Sydney alone.
What we've seen in recent months, and indeed over the last couple of years, is a disturbing escalation in hate threats, online attacks, verbal abuse, harassment, and sadly, vandalism and bashings as well. So we've had spates of bashings in Sydney, and in fact, parts of across Australia in different states and territories, targeting men using the Grindr app. And we've also seen, at its worst, these attacks getting with physical threats of violence and bashings in for instance, Wet Reservoir in Melbourne. A couple were attacked with a machete in Rundle Street Mall in Adelaide. A couple holding hands walking along the mall were attacked, and one ended up in hospital with their jaw broken. But it's extremely alarming. And in New South Wales, we have really significant instances as well.
Considering how easy it is to set up a fake profile on a dating app, an article published by the Australian research-based news site The Conversation notes, it's important to emphasise that members of minority communities are not responsible for hate crimes, and that individual precautions can never be completely foolproof. Recent Australian history demonstrates that where discrimination and exclusion of LGBTQ+ people are normalised in public life, offenders are empowered to rationalise and normalise violence. It's yet to be seen how governments, both state and federal, the police and the courts, respond to these latest challenges.
That was Michael Brown reporting from Sydney. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. NewsWrap was reported this week by Marcus Nahra and Ava Davis, and produced by Brian DeShazer. Michael Brown was our feature producer. You heard music from Seals and Crofts and Devorah. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks Tanya Kane Perry and Julie Reisinger, Richard Burke and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley celebrating their 50th year together, and all the listener donors who make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for us at This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065 Los Angeles, California, 90078 USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Brian DeShazer. Thanks for listening. Online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts. And on CHMA, Sackville, New Brunswick, WELT, Fort Wayne, Allen County, Indiana, 2MCE, Broadhurst, New South Wales, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and
stay tuned.